Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 5. Om Jnanatimanandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadhamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The clever Duryodhana and his party cunningly usurped the kingdom of Yudhishthira, who had no enemy. By the grace of the Lord, the recovery was executed, and the unscrupulous kings who joined with Duryodhana were killed by him. Others also died, their duration of life having been decreased for their rough handling of the hair of Queen Draupadi. Okay. So we discussed this purport last week, and I'm going to discuss it again. Just wanted to offer you all greetings from Vrindavan, and it has been quite wonderful, as Vrindavan always is, and I'm fortunate to have so much service. That's why, if I'm a little bit late, you'll have to excuse me. I was just giving class to 30 people from China. And, the class was from 5 to 6:30, and it's 6:30 here. So I had to run in and then kind of get everything, and then getting the phone up and ready takes a few minutes here sometimes. But I think we'll have pretty good reception here for the rest of the, everyone make sure they mute their phone, because I can hear someone is listening to the class. And it's been great. There's a Russian group here and a German group here, and it's just so many different people, and I'm just going from one group to another, introducing them to the Dham. And what I'm explaining to them, I have kind of a theme. I gave the example of a dog whistle. And by the way, it's so nice to speak to an English-speaking group where it doesn't have to be translated. But just like a dog whistle, there's a sound it makes. The sound is there, but you can't perceive it because you're not qualified. So in the same way, in the Dham, the holy Dham, Krishna is there, but we cannot see because we're not qualified. But when we come here under guidance, practicing Panchanga Bhakti, practicing the five different practices, the main practice, devotional service, kirtan, and associating with the saintly people, and hearing the stories and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and worshiping the various forms of God, and it's a process, and actually the lens of the mind becomes cleansed, and you actually experience God here. And I've seen group after group after group come and have that experience. And then, when I always like to take a holy bath when I come. So I the Jamuna, it's with so much sewage in it, I'm not that advanced. Anyway, I went with Gaurijan to Radha Kund. We just saw, whatever it is, whether it's a Govardhan Shila, a deity of Lord Shiva, of course, so many deities of Krishna. The people's standard of opulence here in Vrindavan is God. And, when you look at it through their eyes, the externals don't really mean that much. I know Shastra's there. He likes to come every year for a month, and he practices, and he does these practices, and he sees Vrindavan. You just experience it. But to speak, when you go out in the bucolic, the very beautiful parts of Vrindavan, which I've done, and it's just it's a miracle place. That's all I can say. Gaurijan said it's a miracle place. Everything comes to you directly. That comes to you is coming from Krishna. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful place to be. That's all I can say. And when you're not here, you sometimes forget how wonderful it can be. And the temple is very, very wonderfully managed by Panchagota and his assistant Dharmatma. And it's just impressive, you know. Everything goes on. There's a nice community spirit. There's just a lot of things that are really wonderful, and I'm happy I was able to get a place in the NDT for my service. Otherwise, I can live anywhere, really. And going to the shop today. I do shopping once a year, and to sit with these shopwalas that I've been with for 35, 40 years. And the love between us is really something extraordinary. It's not just money. That's their karma to make profit. But it's not just money. We're people that have shared lives in a most holy place for, you know, most of our lives. And a lot of them are younger than me. I was there when, you know, maybe I was 25 and they were only 17 working for their father. Now they're parents and they're, you know, have grandchildren. And it's just wonderful. And I think many of you have been there with me and have experienced that. Anyway, we're getting this mini introduction to Krishna. The question was asked at the very beginning of this Bhagavatam. You know, the sages of Naimisharanya who are going to hear the Bhagavatam because they're there because the Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel and confusion, they can see it coming. They're Trikwal Kalagya. They can see past, present, and future. And they can see the difficulties that we are perceiving around the world, the abject prejudice, cruelty, greed, and disease. We went to see Prem Kishore. He said in Canada, 2 out of every 3 people get some form of cancer. What's going on? They could see it. And they wanted to know what is the, you know, where in this atmosphere will you find knowledge and religion? And the answer was the Bhagavatam. And then they asked, Sukadeva Goswami, the guru, said it's the Bhagavatam. The sages of Naimisharanya, the disciples, said, now, okay, tell us about the protagonist in the Bhagavatam. And now they wanted to know about Maharaj Prickett beginning at his birth. So his birth is, you know, his wife, that is it, his wife, his mother is pregnant at the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra, and an opposing army tries to abort her womb, and Krishna comes and protects the womb, and then we follow Krishna. And now he's about to leave. And now we're having, again, Sutta's giving the narrative. Because it's a fratricidal war. And it began when the evil cousin, the Odna, illegally usurped the kingdom of Yudhisthira, who had the saintly cousin. And now by the grace, this is the end, because they're at the funeral right now. And they're, you know, for both sides. And Sutta Goswami is explaining, by the grace of the Lord, then the recovery was executed, and the unscrupulous kings were killed. Because their life was decreased when they attempted to disrobe, defile, disrespect a proper lady who should be cared for and protected. So Prabhupada, in the purport, he wants to make it relevant for today and give a moral lesson. And the moral lesson is, in glorious days, these people were protected. Those who had any sense of need or dependence, whether they were an old man or a child or a cow or a Brahmin or a woman, they were given protection. And the prosperity of society was dependent on their protection. Because the prosperity of society just doesn't depend on economic policy devoid of the grace of God. So if you try to become economically successful through exploitation, you'll suffer. You will get a reaction to that. For sure. The Prabhupada is more focused in his purport on not the reaction, but the avoidance of people being exploited by the proper protection of them by people in a position to do so. And the Brahmins, the teachers, have to be protected. They may be simple people who have no emotional connection with money and therefore live very simply, dependent on God through the grace of others. And if they are not protected and exploited, then people won't have directions how to live and society will go to hell. And that's what's happening in the present society. There's no proper direction in that society because the true saintly people have been either corrupted or oppressed. And they're not in positions of authority, spiritual authority to advise. And therefore, we have screwed up social systems. And of course, this is about women, and women are absolutely exploited today. And Prabhupada just put it very simply, that when women are not protected, they bear children, and now they either kill the children or they have to take care of them alone. And a lot of that promotion and philosophy of over-independence leads to this kind of exploitation. And, you know, Prabhupada, you know, used the phrase, when there's milk in the market, why buy the cow? So when people are free and there's sexual promiscuity, then men don't make the commitment that they should. And women get exploited. So that's, okay, then the Brahmins and the cows and the miracle food of milk, when the cow is protected, and it's not factory milk, but it's actually a cow, even people tell me that the quality of the milk has to do with the consciousness of the cow. And anyway, so many can say, and we talked about protection of women to get a good population in society. You know, the karma of a child who's born to a woman out of wedlock, a soul comes into society who has the bad karma of not having a protective influence that sets the proper boundaries and example in their life. And that causes hell in society. I was walking outside and I met this Mother Srimati. I don't know. I just think she's probably the most elevated soul, on, you know, on the planet, practically. She's so advanced. There's just nothing in her life but intense devotional practice and meditation and thought. So I know her quite well, and she was picking flowers, and she said, "Oh, how nice that you're here." And then she said to me, When you get out of the way in Vrindavan, then the path to Krishna is revealed. Get out of the way, your own desires, your own... I can just, she's so surrendered to Prabhupada. She's so surrendered to Guru and Krishna. And therefore, there's a flow of energy and divine mercy that's quite extraordinary. Then she said, "Excuse me, I have to go see Saraswati, and there's a cow now in the MVT," and she had a brush, and she's brushing it, and brushing the cow, and she tells that, you know, she's not a groaner, so no one knows she's sick, but the cow always knows she's sick. And I know she's telling me all kinds of things. Even if the cow licks you, you can become free of disease. And there's whole thing about the cow. But I was remembering what my friend Kormarupa told me, that scientists in America are isolating in cow dung an antidepressant. So people who had cows, they didn't need psychologists, unless they were really ghostly haunted. They didn't need psychologists. People were out. I see that. I go out in the fields. I see the bridge posses. You know, someone, lady from China, asked, "What about the poverty here?" I said, "What's your standard?" The greatest poverty is a heart that's lacking love. The person may be poor here, but if he has love, he has everything. And if you have money and you don't have love, you don't have anything. And the smiles of simple bridge bossies, the amount of devotion that's in their hearts, even if their lives are simple, is just extraordinary. And the protection of children, give the human form of life its best chance to prepare the way of liberty for material bondage. Such protection of children begins. From the very day of beginning a child by the purificatory process of Garbhadhan Samskara, the beginning of pure life. So protection of children, because children, by definition, means that intelligence has not yet been educated and developed. And the purpose of the intelligence is to take our experiences and put impressions in the consciousness that are correspond with reality, beyond phobias, beyond prejudices, that actually correspond with the way the world is, which is actually God, and which is merciful in so many things. But when you don't have, when a child doesn't have intelligence, and there are experiences or trauma, they can screw the person up for life. And therefore, the parents protect the children, you know, from traumatic experiences, if they can, and train up their intelligence. The society is one of obedience. You're obedient to authority. That allows you to be educated. And the educator, the parent, as he educates the child's intelligence, because he's not going to be able to micro manage, what a society where each person remains a baby to authority, can take no initiative on themselves. Every guru, every parent, every, you know, who's ever in charge of anybody else is going to go absolutely nuts. You have that. If a person just, you know, they don't have their own, then they train up the intelligence. And as the intelligence gets trained, the parent transfers, or the teacher transfers the obedience of them to the that person's intelligence. The protection of the old men give them a chance to prepare themselves for better life after death. And old people, they weren't sent away to homes. They were kept within the family. And there was no trauma as such. And the family protected them and loved them and cared them. So even if they were dying and getting old, they didn't have the trauma of loneliness. They didn't have the trauma of fear. They didn't have the trauma of lack of love. And they, you know, as they're protected in old age, they were able to cultivate knowledge so that they can face death without fear. This complete outlook is based on factors leading to successful humanity as against the civilization of polished cats and dogs. The killing of the above-mentioned innocent creatures is totally forbidden because even by insulting them, one loses one's duration of life. In the age of Kali, they are not properly protected, and therefore the duration of life of the present generation is shortened considerably. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that when the women become unchaste for want of proper protection, there are unwanted children called Vana Sanskara. To insult a chaste woman means to bring about disaster in the duration of life. Dushasana, a brother of Yodhana, insulted Draupadi, an ideal chaste lady, and therefore the miscreants died untimely. These are some of the stringent laws of the Lord mentioned above. So there's laws. There's action and reaction. And you act against dharma, then you have to suffer to rectify your own selfishness that made you supersede what's right, which is called dharma, with what you want to do by your own selfishness. And that kind of consciousness, even if you get a material advantage, is hell. That's what hell is. And therefore God gives reactions to teach us lessons. And here, it specifically, it talked about the importance of a nurturing influence at home in one's life. And when children are born, not because there's a plan that this is my duty as a married person to produce children and bring good citizens into the world as my dharma, but as just a byproduct of lust. And if it's a byproduct of lust, it is less likely that the child will be wanted and get the proper wantedness, if that's the right word, or nurturing or love that will create the mind of a good citizen. So therefore, this is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Text 186. Ya yat yat vashramedas tvam tridhir uttama kalpakai tadyasha pavanam dikshu shatamanyor ivatanat. Lord Sri Krishna caused three well-performed ashramedha yajnas, horse sacrifices, to be conducted by Maharaj Yudhisthira and thus caused his virtuous fame to be glorified in all directions like that of Indra, who had performed 100 such sacrifices. Purport. This is something like the preface to the performance of the Ashwamedha Yajna by Maharaj Yudhisthira. The comparison of Maharaj Yudhisthira to the King of Heaven is significant. The King of Heaven is thousands and thousands of times greater than Maharaj Yudhisthira in opulence. Yet the fame of Maharaj Yudhisthira was not less. The reason is that Maharaj Yudhisthira was a pure devotee of the Lord, and his great, and by his grace only was King Yudhisthira on the level of the King of Heaven, even though he performed only three yajnas, where the King of Heaven performed hundreds. That is the prerogative of a devotee of the Lord. The Lord is equal to everyone, but a devotee of the Lord is more glorified because he's always in touch with the All Great. The sun rays are equally distributed, but still there are some places which always remain dark. This is not due to the sun, but the receptive power. Similarly, those who are 100% devotees of the Lord get the full-fledged mercy of the Lord, which is always distributed equally everywhere. So what's happening here also, it's a little summary. The war is ended, and it described how those who were defeated, they acted against Dharma, and how the person who was successful, he was favored by Krishna. And that's one of the messages of the Bhagavad Gita, because the first verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Dharma Kshetre, Kurukshetre, Dharma Kshetre, Kurukshetre. How can I forget? This is like beginning of Dharma Kshetre, Kurukshetre, Dharma Vetaya Yitzava, Mamakam Pandavas Chaiva, Kimakur, but the sons of, what if my sons and the sons of Pandu being, you know, assembled at the battle of Kurukshetra, this is holy, what did they do? Desiring to fight. And he's asked a question because he wants to hear about their success, which he is confident of, because their armies are more powerful. They cheated in a way to get material advantage. That is called expedience. Sometimes what's right looks like it will disadvantage us in achieving our goals, when in fact, when we do what's right, auspiciousness will come. And that's what a devotee is. We have that faith that Dharma will lead to auspiciousness. And therefore, we won't cheat, even though it looks like the only way for us to get an advantage. We won't lie, even though it looks like the only way for us to get an advantage. But no, we will do what's right because that is the only way to give us an advantage. And we're not even concerned for any material advantage. We're just concerned with pleasing God. But the result comes. And therefore, the last verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Yatra Yogeshvara Partha, wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and where there is Arjuna, his devotee, the supreme archer, there is sure to be morality, victory, and opulence. Of that, there is no doubt. I have full faith that no matter how trying circumstances are, like sometimes you have an enemy and you could screw them. You have the information that can bring them down. But then you think, is it the right thing to do? And one who is dharmic, if it's not the right thing to do, they won't do it, even if that's their competitor that they've been trying to, you know, out whatever. They won't do it. These are such important lessons in the Bhagavatam. Amanta Pandu Putram Cha Shenayo Dabha Samyita Sufayana Dibaya Vitrai Pujitai Pati Pujita. Lord Sri Krishna then prepared for his departure. invited the sons of Pandu after having been worshipped by the Brahmins headed by Srila Vyasadeva. The Lord also reciprocated their greetings. So now, you know, really what happens is when you introduce Krishna in the Bhagavatam, you're getting a inspiration to see the supreme object of love that can inspire your desire to serve. And you're seeing what those who have purified themselves and purely love Krishna, what that looks like. What does pure love look like? How does it move? How does it talk? What does it do? And the Bhagavatam's conviction of Vyasadeva, the author, is that if one reads the Bhagavatam and one sees that, one will want that. I was riding on the way to Radha Kund with Bori Johnny. You know, he shared me his realizations of just studying Srila Prabhupada's books so intensely. He's writing a whole summary on it. And studying Prabhupada's books so intensely. And he said, when you read them intensely, you get depth in spiritual life. You get depth. And if you just jump to the stories of Radha and Krishna, they may be cute, but if they're not founded on depth, they'll have no substance or relevance. So we're learning what love is. We're seeing. We'll see separation from Krishna. Purport. Apparently, Lord Sri Krishna was a Kshatriya and was not worshipped by the Brahmins. But the Brahmins present there, headed by Srila Vyasadeva, all knew him to be the personality of Godhead, and therefore they worshipped him. The Lord reciprocated the greetings just to honor the social order that a Kshatriya is obedient to the orders of the Brahmins. Although Lord Krishna was always offered respect due to the Supreme Lord from all responsible quarters, the Lord never deviated from the customary usage between the four orders of society. The Lord purposely observed all these social customs so that others would follow him in the future. So this is just, God comes, Krishna comes, he comes in a particular way. A lot of times they come in dynasties of kings. God comes and he comes in the Surya Vamsa, in the Kshatriya. So here, he was worshipped by the Brahmins, and, you know, and by Vyasadeva, headed by Vyasadeva. He had been worshipped. But he reciprocated to honor the social order. Because yadyana charite shreshtas tattare vetaro jana, whatever great men do, common men will follow. So Krishna did not want to set the example to being executing as the Supreme Lord from a particular social position, from being a Kshatriya. He didn't want to destroy the social order. Because if the social order is disrupted, then it's very difficult to be peace in society. Without peace, what's the question of transcendence? Therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was asked, what is the relationship between bhakti and devotion and vana ashram, a proper social and occupational structure of society called vana ashram? He said, without, when you have the proper social system and people are engaged properly, they're happy and economically reciprocated. No one likes their jobs now, but if you get the job that you want in a proper society, should facilitate that, and it can be done if it's socially organized in the proper way. by Vana Ashram, then someone is properly engaged, they're physically reciprocated, money and things, they're happy and healthy. And socially, when you have people who are expert in fields, engaged properly in different fields, then the society is peaceful. I've been in many temples, and if you don't have the proper management, it's hell. Not hell, but you know what I mean. If you don't have the proper economic base, if you don't have people to enliven people spiritually by representing the Shastra, it doesn't have value. So God preserves a system that maintains that, so that people have proper guidance, proper leadership, proper economic development, and proper assistance. Kantam kamatami brahman varakam latam ashtika upavede vidavantim putaram bhayavivalam. As soon as he was seated himself on a chariot to start for Dwarka, he saw Uttara hurrying towards him in fear. All members of the family of the Pandavas were completely dependent on the Lord, dependent on the protection of the Lord, and therefore the Lord protected all of them in all circumstances. The Lord protects everyone, but one who depends completely upon him is especially looked after by the Lord. The father is more attentive to the little son who is exclusively dependent on the father. So this is not a defect in Krishna of partiality, but this is the opulence of personality. Prabhupada said that God doesn't have the defect of impersonality. And what is the defect of impersonality? You don't reciprocate properly in relationships. So if someone is exclusively dependent on you, you reciprocate with feelings of protection and maintenance, paternal and maternal feelings may come. And it's very, very natural. So this is the principle of bhakti. Tesham satyate yuktanam bhajatam prithipurvakam tadami buriyogam tvam yenamam upayanti te. One who worships me with faith and devotion, I give them the knowledge. So Krishna reciprocates with his devotees. And in fact, this is the secret of bhakti. It's the path of grace, that God reciprocates our dependence and our need for dependence and our expression of dependence by responding with compassion or care. It's just natural that the world, the perfect world, a proper person reciprocates in relationships, so does God. So now we'll see Krishna and his protection. And protection is one of the confidences that's necessary to take full shelter of God, or it's a result of full shelter of God. That God will protect me means he will do what's best. Bhurijan Prabhu is also sharing with me in Vrindavan how everything that happens to one is directly connected to, it's directly coming to Krishna, and you can see it. Now, I can't, you know, I have generally up until 10 o'clock, it's about 12 minutes to that, your time. So I'm going to stop if there are any questions. Are there any questions? Would anybody like to say hello? It's always enlivening to me to see. Hargo, who's that?
It's Hanan obeisances, Hanan and Surit obeisances.
How do you go? Thank you. Hare Krishna.
I have a question.
Karen, go. Certainly, guys.
I was hearing that you brought the point that was very inspiring about our need to protect others, and then also the understanding that Krishna is actually always involved in someone's life, and we, like, over, we could change someone's life. I was trying in my mind find balance between those two?
Can't hear you somehow. Hare Krishna?
Yes. You heard my question, Maharaj?
I didn't.
I'm sorry. I'll repeat it. I was speaking. You brought the point of how Prabhupada explained we need to protect other people, and at the same time we have the understanding Krishna is behind everything that happened in other lives. And I was trying in my mind to balance the two, those two different understandings.
Well, there's five factors of action, and one is the endeavor. And if we are the vehicles that God has chosen to offer his protection, and we don't do it, then that's sinful. And I know from the other standpoint, you say, well, why should do it? Because, you know, God's going to protect people anyway, you know, or he will protect people anyway. But anyway, that's the way society, people have various karma to do, and we have a choice whether we want to be the deliverer of the bad karma or deliverer of the good karma. And obviously we should make the choice to be the deliverer of the good karma. And because we also are persons, we feel when people are suffering, and we want to take that role. And if we have that role, when someone is drowning and we're walking by, and we just say, well, you know, anyway, God's going to protect them anyway, right? Well, he's given us the chance to protect them. And then, let's say the person drowns, we say, well, God didn't protect them. Well, I guess we can say that's his karma, but you now are implicated in that karma by not actually protecting them. That was your duty, one way or another. So we can't be paralyzed into a lack of action, because there's five factors of action, and one is the endeavor. And we also have to play our roles for God. Okay?
Yeah. So just let me paraphrase. So what you're saying is when we see someone else in need of protection, it's kind of... It interferes with our karma, and it becomes like we have to make a choice and use our free will to help him. Is that what you were saying?
Yes. It is. We have to use our free will to help them, yeah. And
okay.
Be the
Thank
instrument for God's protection. Because ultimately, there are five factors in action, and only one is the endeavor. So God has chosen our endeavor to be part of the factors of action, to help. So I guess God can, you know, if a person's really meant to be saved, we'll say, oh, they're not the body, and someone else will jump in the water and save them. And then we'll be sinful, and they'll be pious. And we'll,
yeah,
so it's like that. Okay,
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. Thank you. Someone else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
So I heard Shradanjali and Kalachandri. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Malati.
Malati, I hope you're feeling better. Please write
Thank you,
that, okay?
I am.
Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Hi, Gail.
Oh, I'm going to meet
Hi,
you.
Krishna. What's that?
Hi, Krishna. No, no, I was talking
Thank
to you.
You
thinking about this. Yeah.
Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
It wasn't up to that.
Others? Okay, I'll have to go by now.